Hello, I'm Ian. Welcome to Creator Coco. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, we talk about the power of code and how Flutter is making it easier than ever to create software. I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator. So one of the most important forms of leverage that you can have in our modern society is having the ability to create products that are either based on code or media. So if you're able to write an app and then publish it to the store or publish it on your website or basically provide it to your users and distribute it in some way, and your users are able to use your app, get value out of it, or if you're a YouTuber or an Instagram personality and you have a group of fans who are following you and you're creating content for these people, that's one of the most important and the most easy to acquire and one of the most permissionless forms of leverage that you can have in our modern world. So what do I mean by permissionless? I mean that you don't need to ask for anyone's permission to write an app and to publish it to the App Store or the Play Store. You, of course, need to ask for the permission from those guys. But in general, you can pretty much, depending on the ideas that you have and the kind of personality you have and the kind of inclinations you have and the kind of ideas you come across, you can create any idea that you wish and publish it to the App Store or the Play Store, publish it on a website, deploy it on a website. You can also publish a YouTube video. You can publish a podcast. And the reason why these forms of products, this form of production is so amazing, and why I'm saying it's the most powerful, is because you can infinitely replicate this product and it's not going to cost you anymore. Millions of people can watch your YouTube video and it's not going to cost you. The first person who watches is not going to cost you any more than the last person who watches. And millions of people can download your app, and the more people who download, the better it is. And when you think about it, before software and media and code, what was happening was if you had a popular product and you were manufacturing it, it was most likely a physical product, even if it was like a book that was selling information. And the more customers you have, the more raw materials you had to burn through. I mean, there are economies of scale, definitely. But when you're talking about something that can be copied infinitely, then it just means that the amount of leverage you have is possibly infinite when you think about it through code and media. You can have 8 billion people watching your YouTube video. It's not like impossible, but can you have 8 billion people using your, you know, your fridge, you know, the fridge that you made, or using, something that you made? I mean, it's going to consume a lot more resources when you think about it. And when you think about also the difference between the two types, in one, you actually have to get a physical space. You have to do, you have to get investors and you have to have wealth and you have to have labor and people working there. And think about all that cumbersome stuff that you have to do before. But on the other hand, when it comes to code and media, you can pick up your phone. You can learn some tutorials. You can record yourself and publish it to Twitch. You can publish it to YouTube. You can publish it to TikTok. You can also code and publish something to the App Store, and you don't need to ask anyone for permission. You don't need to go, get permits for the city, get like construction zones and stuff like that. It's much easier to express yourself and to create something that other people are going to find valuable. And this phenomena of code is what has created massive amounts of wealth in our economies in the last few decades. The richest people you'll find, the people who are becoming the richest nowadays, are all people who are related to software and media and code. That's how you build the new kind of wealth. And what I'm saying, some of this stuff comes from Naval Ravikant. If you've never come across him on the internet, go check him out. He's done some amazing stuff and he talks about some really eye-opening stuff. Yeah, so wealth in modern times is built using code and media. Think about Mark Zuckerberg, think about Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Oracle, think about Google, Apple. And when all this started, the easiest way for you to be able to access the market, if you wanted to basically create software and publish it to the internet and have other people access it, was you would build a web application. And you would basically try to advertise your URL and have people visit your page and probably advertise your URL on other different websites and have people come there. That was the fast way, basically, of building this software. And to do that, you had to know, I guess, HTML. I don't know what people were coding or were using in the early on. I think it was probably just mostly maybe pure HTML, if I'm not wrong. That's in the beginning, web 1.0, and then with web 2.0, I don't know whether that means that's also when we got app stores. But when we started getting app stores around 2009, I think, could be wrong, when the app store first came in, a new way was born basically for you to be able to create applications and market them to your customers and have them be able to access your product. And more important, now users are much easily able to pay for the goods and services that you provide within your application. Because of the nature of mobile devices and how tight some of these ecosystems are compared to web. On the web platform, in the beginning, you had to input your credit card information on every single website. I think that's how it worked. And so stuff like PayPal started coming along to make that process easier. But a new way was born. So apart from doing web, and web is still very popular today, and we'll still talk about that in regards to our discussion today about Flutter. But my journey in software development started in mobile development. So initially I was developing, I did a short course and I started developing Nokia apps. I started developing Android apps. In the beginning, when you start developing mobile apps, you usually have to choose, or usually had to choose, between, am I going to choose an Android app? Am I going to choose an iOS app? I went with Android because iOS has its own limitations, and I was working on a PC back then, so you can't even access some of the Apple stuff, like Xcode. So you choose Android, and a lot of developers start with Android, and Android has a huge market share, I think about 72%. Of all smartphones, which is huge. And Apple has a much smaller market share, but also a much larger share of the revenue. That's the Apple secret. On Android, you have more people, but they pay a bit less. Okay, so I started my journey in software development with Android. And when you get into Android and you start, first of all, you develop an iOS app. And a lot of you, if you're a developer, you kind of are aware of this phenomena, where you have an idea for a product, or you're working for a startup, or you are developing something, and you start, either you have to choose basically where you're going to start, because you want to not waste time or effort or money, and you want to be efficient basically with the resources that you have. So you have to decide, where are my customers? Are we targeting Android customers first? Are we targeting Android customers first? Are we targeting iOS customers first? Or are we targeting even web customers first? And that was one of the most important decisions that you could make as a developer if you are beginning. And I was just talking about this idea that when you're starting developing applications, you usually have to make a decision in between what path you're going to take. So you usually have to decide, if you're doing mobile applications, between Android and iOS, and also you need to decide, if you're doing desktop applications, are you going to do a Windows app? Are you going to do a Mac OS app? Are you going to do an Ubuntu app? And then for the web, you also need to decide what kind of platform you're going to use for web. What are you going to do there? And there was so many decisions that you need to make, that you had to make basically, if you are deciding to build software a few years ago. And in reality, the best situation for a business is that they have all these applications at the same time. that you have an Android app and you can capture those customers. You have an iOS app and you can capture those customers. You have a web app, you can capture those customers. If you need desktop as well, that would be the ideal situation. But for the longest time, because of the fragmentation of the ecosystem between Android, iOS, and all these different things, how businesses have been set up and how startups have been set up is they had different teams performing different duties. So you had to have, if you had an Android developer, you also had to hire an iOS team. You also had to have an Android team. You also, if you wanted a desktop app, you'd also need to have a team for that. And you can imagine the scale and how limiting it would have been for a business to try and reach all these customers at the same time back then. And some solutions were developing. So and back then, people were not taking them very seriously because the performance was very bad. And they basically didn't match up to the marketing. And they would give your users not the best user experience at the same time. So some of those solutions were things like Xamarin, things like also things like React Native. And React Native was very popular for a long time before Flutter came along. But back then, the performance wasn't very good. So it would have been much better. Even that was the advice I would give, that it would have been much better for you to just build two separate native apps if you want the best performance. And that's the topic of today's discussion. That has all changed in the last couple of years. And we have a new contender in the ring, basically. And that's called Flutter. I love Flutter. Let me start by just exposing myself. I love Flutter. I have been interested in Flutter ever since I started learning about it, ever since I started taking it seriously a couple of years ago. And when you start realizing the implications of what Flutter is and the kind of technology that they've been able to build, it's quite mind-blowing and it's extremely exciting about the future. Because all the challenges I've just spoken about, the challenge of having to have multiple teams, and you can imagine all those are people you have to pay. So the cost can really balloon if you wanted to build an application. It could really balloon if you wanted to have your app on all these platforms. So the cost has gone down because now Flutter is a platform that allows you. It's an open source SDK basically for cross-platform app development. And what that means is you can use a single code base to develop Android, iOS, desktop, web, and even games. You can use a single code base to do all of that work. You can write your application once, and it's going to run on all these platforms without you having to have all to go through basically all that effort and to burn through all that money and to hire all those people. And what this means for a startup and how this changes business basically is that if you're starting a startup in 2022 and this startup has you need a web app, you need an Android app, you need an iOS app. I think most apps need those three at least, most startups. You basically don't have a choice that is better than Flutter. If you choose anything else, I feel like you are, unless your thing is very like custom, it's very technical or you need it to be a very specific way. But if you're making something like Uber, if you're making something like Pinterest, if you're making something like, I don't know, basically you can achieve any kind of application, any kind of use case you would desire using Flutter. And that's something I've personally had experience with. I've tested it out. I've done it for myself. And the Flutter still is developing, so it could get better. But for what it's doing so far, to me, it's the only platform where you can say, like, at a high performance level, you can actually write once and it will run anywhere. So you have one single code base, one single suite of unit tests. So you don't need to have testing across all your different platforms. And it also means for the business that you only have one team. You only have one team and you only need to have a a company that that uses one programming language. Okay, I don't. That's for the front end. You can for the back end, you can still use things like Node.js, so you can do whatever you want in the back end. But for the front end, you eliminate basically all these other teams. You eliminate your Android, you eliminate your iOS, and you eliminate your web team, and they all become one single Flutter team. And this is quite amazing because now your company is much more closer knit, and you can have people who, when they communicate, they can all understand each other. So the people working on the mobile app understand the people who are working on the web app, and at the same time, all of them are interchangeable. So now if you have people who are specifically working on Flutter web, they can also be the same developers working on Flutter mobile, and it can just be a thing of now you internally separating the teams according to the kind of layout that you want. And that's how I think it's going to happen. So teams are now going to start focusing on, instead of different types of platforms, you're going to focus on different kinds of screens. That's how the companies are going to be split up. So you'll have a team working on desktop UI, tablet UI, and mobile UI, probably. That's one way it might go. And then it's also interchangeable. And Flutter has recently surpassed React Native to become the number one mobile app development framework. So it's extremely popular, and a lot of developers are waking up to this beauty of Flutter. And they're starting to figure out that Flutter is important. And it's very convenient to be able to write your app once and then see it running on Android, on iOS, and also on the web. And the foundation of Flutter is called Dart. So Dart is the programming language that you use to when you're coding, basically, in Flutter. And the way it's implemented in Flutter, it's a declarative language. So you are writing in one screen. Before, on Android and on iOS, I believe. Yeah, okay, not on Swift UI, but on old school iOS, you had to have two separate classes or files if you needed your logic and your, okay. If you needed your logic in your UI, I'm just basically trying to say on Android, you had to have XML files and you had to have your Java and Kotlin files, if you know about that. But here, in this case, you only have one file. And in that one file, you can write all your logic and all your UI at the same time. But, and I hope I get time to talk about this, there are ways for you to manage those things, and I'll talk about them. So that is the foundation of that. And that is cool because it provides things like ahead of time and just-in-time compilation. And that allows a feature which I really love in Flutter, which is called hot reload. And this basically it cuts your time down. So apart from Flutter being a way that allows developers to build applications across all these platforms, they've also thought about the user experience of the developer themselves. So if you're a developer working in Flutter, how is your experience going to be different from someone who's using Android Studio and Kotlin? And one of the biggest changes that one of the most convenient ways that Flutter has done that, and you can actually start taking it for granted, is hot reload. And this basically means that you can refresh your app instantly. So as soon as you save, you can see your changes appearing on your device or your emulator. And that saves you a lot of time, because before, every time you made a change, you had to run the app again in order for you to see the results of your change. And that was, it's a huge waste of time. But now, as soon as you save your file, the app refreshes itself and you can see the results of your app. Also Dart compiles directly to native ARM and also Intel 86 code. And this minimizes the performance differences you can get between something that's written entirely in Swift and something that's written entirely in Java or Kotlin. And by minimizes performance differences, I mean there are no differences between using a Flutter app and using a normal native app. There are no perceivable differences because of the platform itself. Maybe the developer implementation can be different, but there's pretty much no difference in performance between a Flutter app and an app that is built natively. And that is amazing. Maybe on the web, the web could be improved. They just recently, in the last, I think, a year or so, they've launched a Flutter web. And that one still has room for improvement. But I love Flutter web personally, and I think it's the future as well. So So more things about Flutter. So why do I think Flutter is a game changer? And why do I think Flutter is going to transform how businesses work? So we've mentioned that it's platform agnostic. You don't need to choose between Android, iOS, desktop, web. You can write once and then it will run anywhere. And when you and probably you're curious, when I say you can run your Android app on a web, is it not gonna look weird? Like, is the layout not gonna look messed up? And the answer there is yes, it's gonna look messed up. It will run basically, but it's gonna look messed up. And the solution there is to build an adaptive application. And this is quite beautiful because the implication here is that you make one app, and then you, depending on the screen that is being shown at the moment, or the size of the screen, or the kind of hardware it's, or the kind of device it's running on, you can intelligently decide to show a specific kind of a screen. So if it's running on a mobile app, you show this kind of a layout, and if it's running on a tablet, you show this kind of a layout, and if it's running on a web or a desktop, you show this kind of a layout. And that's pretty cool. So that's how you make it run on different devices. You have to be deliberate, and you can build different UIs. But the interesting thing is all the logic is going to be shared. If you separate your logic properly from the UI, then the only work you have to redo is developing different screens for different UI, but you're using the same platform, you're using probably the same code, you're just reusing the code. And it's much more convenient than having to build and learn all these different languages separately. And yeah, so Flutter has an extensive widget library. It has almost every single thing you might need. It's very easy to learn. Like and I might even show I was planning on showing a demo at some point, but I'm not so sure about that. But it's very easy to learn. It's very easy to get started. The documentation is very awesome. It provides an excellent user experience. Like, your users will enjoy using your Flutter app. You can add nice animations. It has smooth animations. It's very performant. And I mentioned earlier that you need to do less testing because it can re like all your tests can run on the same piece of code, so you don't have to have testing on all these different platforms at the same time. Flutter has an excellent community as well that's thriving, and you can get a lot of support. Like on Stack Overflow, you can get a lot of support on the Flutter website itself, and even the pub.dev website, the place where you can go and get new widgets, you can get new what are they called, plugins and things like that. Like, Flutter has almost every single thing you need. I've never really lacked anything in Flutter. And if you do lack something, that's an opportunity for you to develop something that you can probably publish as a library for other people to access. That's how it comes along. But I have been able to find the weirdest things for free on pub.dev, just developers building weird libraries that I would not have thought someone would have built. Yeah, so there's very, very many libraries you can check out that can probably help you get probably 90% of the way there, and then you just have to customize the rest and see how things are gonna go. So you're mostly, even when you're developing, you're not building things from scratch. There's a lot of this work has already been done for you. So if you need a library that does anything, any type of UI, any type of animation, you need kind of, I don't know, page transitions, you need to play certain videos and things like that. Flutter, I believe, has all the stuff that you need. And it also has great support for Firebase. That stack of Flutter plus Firebase, Flutter plus Firebase is equals to you can build anything. This was not possible before, and that comes to now the discussion of the backend. If you're going to build a Flutter app, you might want to, if your application is very custom, if your application is it needs, like, I don't know, it needs some stuff, some scientific stuff, some very custom stuff, you might want to build your own database. Like, you can use all these different types of stuff, Postgres, you can use, I don't know, AWS and things like that. But again, if you're not using Firebase in the beginning, and also in the middle, and also in the end, you're missing out on a huge opportunity because Firebase is a very easy to use database. It does all the scaling for you. It can support millions of customers. I believe you can build something like Uber on Firebase without any challenge, and even like more demanding applications. So if you if, but if it's a social media app, if it's a marketplace app where you're buying and selling, or you're trading and you're doing things like that, if it's an informational app, if it's an app that does pictures, all of that can work on Firebase. And Firebase is an amazing database. It takes the user experience even further. It works very well offline. It's very fast. It's like magic, basically. It's like the way it communicates with the user interface is very, very fast. And I really love that about Firebase. So if you combine Flutter plus Firebase, you have something extremely powerful there. And it's very, very easy to learn, very easy to get started. I believe in a week, if you do a few tutorials, you can end up building a Firebase plus Flutter app. And just there in that lesson, you've learned how to build any app for any device that can have millions of customers. Think about that. Let's also now talk about the other thing. Now, you can use Flutter to build apps, but did you know that you can also use Flutter to build games? I've always been interested in game development. I love video games, and I have always been interested in game development. And I know that when you're starting game development, you're usually led in two directions. One of them is called Unity, and the other one is called Unreal Engine. So you're like, I need to build games for Android and iOS. What do I use? Usually you'll find people recommending that you try out Unity or you try out Unreal. But now another recommendation in the mix is called Flutter. You can also use Flutter to build mobile games. There are different types of games depending on the one you want. So there are app-like games, and then there are video games. So when we say app-like games, we mean games which are mostly like the user interface, where you're just tapping on buttons and you're opening menus, and there's kind of animations. Like imagine a chess application, imagine like Candy Crush. I believe Candy Crush is an app-like game. But that's the kind of game I'm talking about, versus the games which have intense graphics where you can move and they have 3D models and they have characters. So those are two different types of games. And guess what? You can build both of them on Flutter to some degree, but I'm mostly gonna focus on the casual games. So casual games, games that you just open up and then you kind of move around and bounce around. I'm sure you get it. The games which it's just buttons and stuff, and you don't have to do so much. They're not graphically intensive games, and those are perfect to build with Flutter. Flutter provides you the tools and the means to be able to build that kind of UI, because that's what Flutter does. Flutter is an engine for developing UI. And recently in the Google I/O 2022 for this year, they announced something called the Casual Games Toolkit. So they are basically providing free resources. Like the Flutter team is providing the community with free resources that you can use to build your own game in Flutter. You can have ads, you can have payment in that game, you can have in-app purchases, and you can establish a whole business basically using Flutter. And you can build casual games, and if you wanted to, you can also build video games. You can build games that are more graphically intensive using an engine called Flame, where they provide you with audio, they provide you with physics, they provide you with, you know, basically all the tutorials and all the resources you might want or you might need to be able to make a game for yourself. And so if we now zoom out and look at what Flutter allows you to do, it eliminates the problem of having multiple teams, multiple languages. Imagine if, you know, you had a team and everyone was speaking a different language, like in terms of like one person is speaking English, the other person is speaking Japanese, the other person is speaking French, and they all don't understand each other. That's what was happening in the past. But if you have one language like Flutter, everyone in the engineering team is going to understand each other. That's one. The other thing is you can build desktop apps as well. Apart from it eliminating the mobile issue, it now moves to web and desktop. And now I've just said you can also build games if you wanted. So with one code base or with one platform, a developer can be extremely powerful here. The amount of power that a single developer has gained by learning Flutter is a lot. And so Flutter is going to be the future of mobile development, of web development, of game development for casual games, I think. And we'll actually see how it's going to go for even more graphically intensive video games. There was a demo during Google I/O, and if you check out this demo, it's called the Pinball, a pinball game for Google I/O 2022. If you Google that and try to check it out, it's an amazing game that was built in Flutter, and you can see how Flutter is performing a game on the web or even on the mobile. And so the sky's the limit when it comes to using Flutter. Flutter has completely crushed completely destroyed the ceilings and the barriers to entry for a lot of developers. So right now, the barrier to entry has been reduced. So if you have an idea, if you have a business that you want to start, if you have a way you feel is going to help you make money or is going to provide value for someone else, you can now do every single thing by yourself if you're dedicated enough. A lot of good applications have already been built with Flutter. And Flutter is also right now the most popular cross-platform app development language. So our app developer, I don't know, Flutter is a platform. is how I think about it. It's weird calling it a language. It's an SDK. That's the technical term. It's an open source SDK. And so, yeah, so that's Flutter. It's very easy to learn. It's very easy to get into. And it has completely changed how the software development process looks like. Like even if you're freelancing and someone approaches you for an app, it's now possible for you to build for them an Android, iOS, and web. Before, you had to kind of specialize and be like, oh, fine, I'm only doing Android apps or I'm only doing iOS apps. But now, you can offer your customer pretty much anything that that they would want. And that's a very good thing. And it's going to change in the next 5 to 10 years. I think Flutter is going to skyrocket, and it's going to change how the whole conversation and even how startups are organized, how businesses are organized, how apps choose to move forward into the future.
Oh, yeah, hey, how are you? I'm very fine. Thank you.
So tell me, what do you think?
Actually, I'm a fan of Flutter, and I really like the discussion and everything. So I'm enthusiastic about the whole thing about Flutter.
Okay, do you use Flutter, for example, or what do you use for development for yourself?
I've used Flutter for one application right now, but so I was thinking about switching to Kotlin. I heard about Kotlin, the one for Jetpack Compose, but it's not stable. So I think I'm still stuck with Flutter.
Yes, when it comes to the discussion with Kotlin and versus Flutter. And I don't know why the Google team is not pushing Flutter more than Kotlin, but the way I see it, Flutter is still the better option. Even if Kotlin becomes easier to use, it's going to become less and less of a good option to use Kotlin or Java, because it limits you. You can't use,
yes.
I'm not sure you can use Kotlin to develop all this other stuff like desktop apps and web apps and things like that.
Yeah, it's not that rich, and it's still new. Kotlin hasn't finished. The Jetpack Compose Kotlin still so young. Like it's not more than 5 months old right now. So it doesn't have all the libraries and everything. So Flutter is way ahead. So I think Flutter is the best option in development.
So tell me about this one app that you made, or maybe you were trying out a demo or something. How did you decide to go with Flutter, and how was the experience for you?
So actually, it is about like there you started the need for one for a multi-platform application. So we started with Android, and then we were like, hey, by the way, we need a iOS app. So we were like, should we create another iOS app? And said, ah, no need. You can just create one app, then it's cross-platform and everything. So the first that was Android app, and then so had to switch to Flutter to make a cross-platform.
Oh, I see. And yeah, that's a when you realize that now Flutter lets you do that, you're like, oh, this makes total sense. I should totally just do it in Flutter, right?
Yeah. I think that should have been the first consideration, because it would have saved a lot of time.